Well, I heard this story over Christmas, and I was kind of blown away by it. It was a story about a couple who was kind of struggling with gift giving. And it really was the wife having issues with the husband, and she was constantly kind of getting after him. He just was not a good gift giver. I mean, even when she kind of laid it out there for him and clearly and specifically said what she wanted, he could somehow mess it up. He just could not get it. And she thought, okay, this Christmas I'm going big or going home. Okay, now I'm gonna go big and see, be as clear as possible, and see if this works out. And so she said, look, honey, this year I want something in the driveway with a bow on it that goes from 0 to 120 in 2.6 seconds. And he was like, okay. He said, no, I don't think you understand. I want something in the driveway on Christmas with a bow on it that goes 0 to 120 in 2.6 seconds. He's like, okay, I get it. Well, she just kind of repeated that mantra to him. You know, just every so often would say, hey, remember Christmas is coming up, and remember what I want. I want something in the driveway with a red bow on it that can go from 0 to 120 in 2.6 seconds. Finally, Christmas came. They are opening gifts, and he gets his and opens it up, and, you know, the anticipation is building. And finally, she says, okay, where's what we talked about? He says, go check in the driveway. She looks out the window, and there's a box in the driveway with a red bow on it. She goes out the door. She goes and opens the box, and in the box, she finds a scale that says 0 to 120 in 2.6 seconds. We're talking about wisdom this semester. And there's another side to Proverbs as we're looking at this. Another side to Proverbs, not only just the wisdom side, but it's the foolish side. And if you read Proverbs, and if even if you are not familiar with the Bible, maybe you're here and you're wondering about Christianity, and you may not even know where Proverbs is in the Bible. We're glad you're here, by the way. And this is not a place for you to know everything. It's a place for us to talk and ask questions and everything else. But it's a book that's actually saying, look, we have the capacity of being incredible fools, confused and not knowing which end is up. And it's not only saying, and even when you read it, Proverbs in the Bible is not saying to us, are you a fool? It's actually saying, you're a fool, what kind of fool are you? Because when you read through these passages and these verses, it doesn't give you a wiggle room. It's saying, you and I are fools. It's saying that foolishness is bound up in our hearts. It's there. There's no way around it. It's not, are you a fool? It's, what kind of fool are you? How does it make itself known? How do you live out your foolishness? And what we're also looking at with Proverbs, and on the converse side of that, is wisdom, okay? That we're making decisions. How do you make decisions in life? We want to make decisions on a day-to-day basis to have some sort of formula, right? We want to have some sort of rhythm, something that just tells us what to do. But, you know, 20% of life is that, is yes or no, black or white. And there's another huge 80% that is the space between that is not that simple. How do you make decisions? And in that, we see the huge foolishness of our hearts come out, as we even saw in that, between that couple. So tonight, as we look at this, we're going to just look at two simple things. We're going to look at the kinds of fools we are, and then we're going to look at the kind of fool God is. We're going to look at the kinds of fools we are and the kinds of fool, kind of fool that God is. So read with me in Proverbs. It's on your sheet. That Proverbs, again, is in the Old Testament, if you're not familiar. If you took a Bible and you just kind of flopped it open, dead middle is about Psalms, Proverbs. Psalms is a lot of poetry, and Proverbs is just to the right of that. And it's a wisdom book. And we're going to jump around from different verses, so I'm just going to read straight through. Proverbs 1:22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Skipping down to Proverbs 14:15. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. There's a way that seems right to man, but in its end, the way is the way of death. Strike a scoffer, and the simple will learn prudence. Reprove a man of understanding, and he will gain knowledge. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. So first, what kind of fool are you? What is a fool? Let's ask that question. A fool isn't, last week we actually talked about what wisdom was. And that wisdom is a path. It's not a doorway, it's a path. And I would say that Proverbs is submitting that foolishness is the same thing. Foolishness isn't something you just do dumb things, okay? It's not something that just does embarrassing stuff that needs to be corrected. But it's someone who's living out this foolishness. It's a path. You're walking it. You're living in it. It's something you take up daily. And I think in our day today, and even if you look at some of these passages, and you read it in kind of ancient texts about foolishness, a lot of it speaks of fools were menaces in society. They actually disrupted community and destroyed life in order and how a system of a community functioned. A fool wasn't somebody who just did one dumb thing and messed it up. They were someone who entered into the situation and really was not helpful and quite destructive. And in fact, Tim Keller says this about foolishness. He says, today we often think that a fool is someone who's just out of touch with reality and needs to know better. You just should know better. But really, a fool is kind of one of two things. It's kind of a combination. A fool is, first, someone who thinks they have this life figured out and is just trying to live it on their own, but they can't. They're trying to make sense of this reality and take the world around them and mold it to themselves instead of realizing there's an order here that we have to live by. If you were to leave home, if you were to say, forget school, forget parents, I'm on my own now, right? Well, you can't just go out in the world and just try and live. There are actually things you got to try and do to live. You got to find food. You got to find shelter. You got to take care of yourself. If you find those things, you find a job, employment, you may have to pay taxes. These are things you're supposed to do as a part of this society, as part of this order. It's called the parent of life. You can't escape your parents, even if you wanted to. The other side of that, though, is, and this is really interesting, most of the time that's what we think of a fool, as somebody who's just kind of doing their own thing. But a fool is also someone who is trying to live so by the rules that they are completely unwise. Someone who is trying to live so by the rules and so formulaic in order that they cannot think for themselves and spin out into orbit. They cannot even function in society because if something is outside of their rigid, this doesn't fit in the rules box of perfection, they can't live, they can't move, they can't breathe. And so a fool is either of those two things. And in Proverbs here, there are actually three kinds of fools, three descriptions. The first one is the simple. The simple. You read that in Proverbs 14:15 there. It says, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Or how long, O simple ones. The simple are people that aren't dumb. They're people that are easily led astray. The simple are the people who will believe anything and take it on. They're looking, if you're a simple fool, you're looking for someone to tell you what to do in life. You're the kind of person that's always looking for a mentor. Always trying to find, I've got to have a mentor. I've got to have somebody that tells me how to live my life. Now, there's nothing wrong with having older people in your life that care for you. But you constantly are looking to them to make decisions for you. You know, if you're the kind of person that maybe says a lot, I just wish someone would tell me what to do. And not just as throwing your hands up, but kind of like, that's where you want. That's a production of simple foolishness. We don't want to think. When Ricky Jones talks about foolishness, he's a pastor in Oklahoma. I love he says this. He says, foolishness are the kinds of people that if you tell them you don't like them, It absolutely destroys their world. And they will do anything to gain your approval of them. I was watching Modern Family the other day, and there was an episode where Cam, this one of the main characters, has really offended Gloria, one of the other characters. And he is working so... The whole show is about him trying to make sure that she likes him. And he does anything. He makes himself look ridiculous just to do it. I mean, he starts eating this disgusting food, and it's so hot that he can't even eat it. Normally, he's sweating like crazy. He's going to a restaurant. He's doing all this stuff just to see if she'll like him still. That's how we function. We function in that way. Because we are in the depths of us. The simple fool is someone who's so insecure that they need someone to tell them who they are. They need someone to tell them how to live life as a human. It's always interesting to me when a popular kind of Christian book comes out. Like when I Kissed Dating Goodbye came out, there were like 50 million breakups across America, you know. And when book Wild at Heart came out, like every guy was like, I need to go camping, you know. Like, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, there's some good things in these books, okay? Don't get me wrong. But I think that we take them to this logic. We're like, tell us to do anything. We'll do it. Are you simple? Are you simple? The other one is the fool. And Proverbs moves from the simple person to the fool himself. And the fool is someone who kind of graduates. Where I find myself often from moving from simple to fool is where you're more fixed in your thinking. The fool is someone who surrounds himself with people that tell him he's right all the time. And he cannot... I tend to hear myself using the he a lot, right? Cannot hear himself being corrected. The fool is someone who, when they're so impatient when they're given advice. And they're the kind of person, you know, when you talk to them, you feel as though they already knew what you're telling them. They're kind of like, yeah. The fool is kind of like when your mom says something to you and you're like, yeah, mom, I got it. Even if you don't say that to her, you kind of feel that way. You roll your eyes. You walk away. That's the foolish heart. In fact, one of the words for fool means thick or fat. And it's where we get the whole thing of, you're so thick-headed. I don't know if you know Flannery O'Connor, who's a famous Southern writer. But she writes a lot of really incredible short stories, taking on the irony of Southern culture. In one of her stories, she calls Revelation. And there's a woman named Miss Turpin who really believes that she is just it. And she is just good, and she goes to church, and she takes care of the poor, and she is not like... And she says this in her story. She's not like those white trash people, and she's not, you know, she's just this good person. And she encounters the name... is important, this girl named Mary Grace, who confronts her in kind of an odd way and ends up calling her a hog. You big hog. And begins to kind of like rough her up verbally and tell her that she's just not as good as she thinks she is. And listen to what it kind of says and what Miss Turpin does with this. She's trying to incorporate it into her worldview and make sense of it. She says, it's so difficult. How, she asked God, how am I a hog and me both? How am I saved and from hell too? She doesn't know how to compute the fact that she may be wrong. That she may be messed up. That this person who may not be as, you know, great and in standing in social life as she is, can correct her, and that she may be living a completely wrong life in a completely messed up world. That's a fool. It's a person that may be sitting here even now, and maybe you're doing this, so often my heart is prone to do too. That you may be hearing something like being said right now, and you're saying, gosh, I wish so-and-so was hearing this. Or you see somebody across the room and you say, I'm glad they're here. They really need to hear this. Instead of really applying it to yourself. I know I'm prone to that. That's the fool. But, you know, the simple and the fool aren't the end. There's actually someone who's even greater. You can graduate even beyond. And it's the mocker. Even if you saw this here, or scoffer in this version. It says Proverbs 19:25, strike a scoffer, and the simple will learn prudence. Verse 21:24, scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. The scoffer is the ultimate antithesis of wisdom. The scoffer is someone who is, these are the kind of people actually that we look up to in our society. They're the kind of people that are incredibly gifted at their craft, incredibly good at what they do. But if they're crossed for a moment, it's cutthroat. I don't know if you've seen the movie Ides of March. It just came out on DVD and such. It's a great movie. And it goes into the darkness of cutthroat politics. And it really dissects and shows how those that are really, really good at what they do, in fact, that's what they're saying, these are the heralded politicians and heralded campaign managers and staff. Yet behind the scenes, there is cutthroat. If you get in their way, if you cross them for a moment, there's no such thing as loyalty. It is all about what you can do to better my campaign, further my existence. In fact, the word Ides of March, you know, the title Ides of March is from Julius Caesar, right? And it's interesting that it's from that because one of Shakespeare's notable qualities in his writings was to always make the most foolish character in his plays the most wise. If you're ever in a class like that, notice that. It's really interesting. He always has the most profound things coming out of the most foolish characters in his plays. But the thing about it is, as one commentator said about the mocker, he said, he creates strain and tension in community and destroys it. And here's my question for you about the mocker. Not only are you a mocker, but are you following someone who's a mocker? You know, mockers are the people who are willing to cut ties with you relationally because you confront them about something. Or if you're the kind of person that is confronted, you distance yourself from this person relationally because there cannot be any disagreements in any of your friendships. Are you a kind of mocker? Is that the kind of fool you are? Or that I am? You know, one of the words that spins around that I hear being used at Vanderbilt quite a bit is, what is the cost-benefit of the relationship? Right? That is exactly what the mocker thinks. This type of fool believes that, hey, what's the cost-benefit of this relationship? What can I get out of this for me so that I can further myself? Without thinking how you can really grow, really be changed. Is that how you view relationships? So you see them. So that's man's foolishness. That's how we are fools. And I would say that if you're listening and you're thinking about those things, if you haven't encountered your own foolishness, just wait. I'm sure it'll happen soon. Because it happens to the best of us. It happens to all of us. And it's not just one of those things. We're all three. So how are we saved? How are we helped? It's the foolishness of God. Look at this. Look at this paper that we handed out again. In the middle is this big passage from a letter called 1 Corinthians that Paul wrote centuries ago to a church. And he was writing to a church that was brilliant. Okay, they were gifted. They were amazing. Corinth was one of the leading cities in that area, second behind Rome. And this is what he writes to them. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Ricky Jones tells a story that really encapsulates this passage well, I think. And he says it by saying, you know, in order to become wise, we have to have a fool become a fool to save us from our foolishness. And when he was a student here, he's a pastor now, but he was a student here at Vanderbilt. He had a friend who went to the Alabama game with RTR and went down there for the Alabama game. And this guy was saying, look, let's go down there. I've got a ticket for you. I'm ready to go. This will be fun. He's like, dude, I don't have any clothes. I don't really have any money. How are we going to do this? He's like, look, I'll pay for everything. I'll take care of it. I just want you to come with me. We'll have a lot of fun. Let's just go. So he throws on his athletic shorts, throws on a t-shirt, jumps in the car, and they head down. They get there. Well, the game time's about to start, and he's in this dorm, and his friend walks in, and he's dressed in khakis, blazer, tie, the whole bit, right? And he's sitting there in athletic shorts and a shirt, and he's like, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. I didn't bring clothes. You told me I didn't need to bring clothes. He says, okay, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So he finds some shorts for him, and some khaki shorts for him. His friend takes off his tie, and he kind of gives him maybe a blazer to see if it'll fit him and such. Well, his friend comes back and walks in, and he had taken off all of what he had on. He just put on these khaki shorts and some button-down, rolled-up sleeves with no tie, no blazer. And he realized that as he was walking around this game, that no one knew Ricky. Ricky was like, no, I don't go here, nobody knows me. But everywhere his friend went, everyone was making fun of him. Everybody was making fun of him for what he was wearing. He wasn't dressed up enough. What are you doing, dude? Why are you dressed up like that? And he realized, he said, look, my friend became a fool to save a fool from looking like a fool. And that is what it's saying here. This passage in Corinthians is saying that we needed someone. Not just, I mean, if you talk about Christianity, it sounds ridiculous. If you were to ask someone, maybe you're here, maybe you're not a Christian, maybe you're wondering, what is this Christianity about? And I'm up here talking about a man who became a baby and went to a cross and died, and we believe that, and that changes my life. Aren't you kind of listening, maybe? And going, that sounds kind of ridiculous. How does that really, what's the deal there? It's because this Savior had to come, be born as a fool, in a stall, poor, not kingly, not in the way we would think would be wise, not in this ivory tower. Born a fool, lived a fool. Even his parents, it says in the Bible, thought he was crazy. They said, get him off the street. What is he saying? He's not making sense. The people that were following him were like, you want to go to the cross? What? And yet, in order to save fools, he became the lowest of fools so that we would be made wise. That's the gospel. That's the power of it. That's what we're seeing here. That's what Corinthians is saying. This one did this so that we would be made wise. And it's inviting you. Proverbs 1, 32 and 33 is inviting you into this foolishness to make sense of this life. Because this wisdom that we think we have to make sense of life, that we can do it on our own, is not doing it. We had to have someone. God didn't just say, hey, I'm going to make you wise. Because we aren't. We cannot find our way out. He had to become a man. And not just come tell us about wisdom, but die for the fools that think they're wise and think they have it together. The ones who will not hear. The ones who are leading others astray. The ones who will hear anything just to try and cover their insecurity. He became this so that we would be made wise in God. That Jesus is our wisdom. Jesus is the one who brings us to that. And he, look at verse 32 and 33, say, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. When it says dread of disaster, by the way, The Bible talks about fools being dealt with harshly. When it says here that fools are punished, strike a scoffer and the simple will learn prudence, it's saying, it's not being figurative, it's actually saying fools should be beaten. It's punitive. But who is the one? Who's the one that receives the striking so that the simple would understand? It's Christ. The striking here, the scourging is on the back. There are other translations that define it as on the back. Where did Jesus go to receive the lashings? They were on the back as He walked to the cross in foolishness. Why is this foolishness to Jews and Greeks? Because to the Jews, it was foolishness because they wanted signs. They wanted pragmatism. This doesn't make sense. Why would a Messiah, someone who's supposed to rescue us from all the pain and suffering and struggle, go to the cross? That's ridiculous. And for the Greeks, it was, this makes sense. They were into reflection and wisdom and insight. How is this reflective? How is this logical? It's not. That's the point. Because we have to have someone come in that low in order to make us understand the true wisdom of God. Is that that's how He had to save the fools that we are. And that He says that whoever listens dwells secure. Guys, how do we become wise from this? We become wise because we dwell secure. Isn't that it? If it's security, right? The simple are insecure about this life and the world around them. But if we dwell secure, if we listen, if you're willing to hear, and to dwell secure in Him, then you will gain footing in this world. Then things won't shake and rattle. You won't have to find your security in how you hold a solo cup, or how you do on your grades, or how you won't have to find security in those things. You'll have freedom to live this world. You'll be able to see them with a scope that is real. Because what foolishness does is it distorts your reality so that they become so big and so important that all you can do is hide yourself in them. But wisdom is saying the only place you can dwell secure, and when it says be at ease. We just sang an amazing song about bid my anxious fears goodbye. And that song may be kind of confusing to you, but there's one thing that's true about that song that is very powerful. It is saying that thousands of years ago, those who stood on the border of a river and looked across into a land that was promised to them so that they would finally feel secure and finally feel like they dwell in a land with ease and loved and cherished, they could bid their anxious fears goodbye. And what it means in wisdom to dwell secure and be at ease, it means you can finally have that anxiety resolved in your heart. That it can be dealt with. Not lived on. Not fueling you to do everything that you do. What would it be like for you to live without so much anxiety? Even now, I'm sure you've came in here flooding with it. We're only 3 weeks in, but I know you've got so much going on. What would it be like for your heart to be at ease? Sure, you've got stuff to do, but to be going out, dwelling secure with a calm heart so that you can go and work hard and do those things that you need to get done, whatever they are, but that they don't drive you. They're not the master of you. Because that's what leads us on that path of foolishness. And wisdom comes in the one who we hide ourselves in. We hide ourselves in who we are in Jesus. Because it is in Jesus that we make sense of us. So that we can look out on this world and not try and fit ourselves into everything else. And find security there. It's rest for our weary souls. And it is in Jesus that we do so. It's an invitation for you. Whether you're here and you're a Christian, to find yourself in Him. Be reassured. And if you're here and you're not, to listen. Just hear it out. It says, just listen. Whoever will listen, try it out. See what it's like to dwell secure in Him. And you will find that He is the unmoved mover. He's unchangeable. And it is sweeter than anything else you can find in this world. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your kindness to be patient with us because we're foolish. Because we run after things left and right that we think are the solution. We're simple. We see a big event, or we hear of a great book, and we think that, oh, this will finally give me the identity that I need. Or we're so fixed that we can't even hear our closest, dearest friend tell us that they see completely destructive things in our life, so that we push them away. Lord, work in our hearts that we would not be foolish. And God, let us not be mockers. Oh God, please guard our hearts from that. And I praise you that you endured the mocking, that you became a fool, and you were struck so that you would turn the simple away, that we would find ourselves secure in you, Jesus. I pray that these students would in here, that they would find themselves secure in you, because it is only in you that their hearts can be at ease. And that is wisdom. That is wisdom in this world, and wisdom on the campus of Vanderbilt. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.